When we last saw the Gregory party aboard the stolen Euclidean submarine, their position was anything but a happy one. Compelled to anchor the submarine on the floor of the ocean in 9,000 feet of water, Jones soon discovers that the Euclideans have located them even there. As Captain Bradford engages in two-way radio communication with Johnson in Los Angeles, the scientists on the Magic Island send out a radio beam of such power as to nearly cripple the submarine. Then the Euclideans send out a musical note, keyed to a certain pitch, and Jerry Hall gets a severe headache. Mrs. Gregory watches helplessly as they plan to run the risk of capture in a desperate dash to Los Angeles.
Well, of all the crazy things I ever heard of, this is the worst. We have to run to Los Angeles to get away from a musical note that makes my headache sent over the radio.
It is not that particular note we must fear, Jerry. I can protect you in the soundproof sleeping section in the stern of the submarine. What we must guard against is the note which will cause this submarine to break up.
But how can we guard against such a thing?
If we are quick enough, we may quite possibly save the boat, though its operation may be far from perfect thereafter.
Well, never mind the boat. How about our operation?
We will not be harmed if I act quickly enough.
Oh, Joan, dear, what must you think of us? You must do this, and you must do that, while we sit helplessly by and watch you save us time and time again.
Because, Mother, I am the only one who understands all these devices the Euclideans use. And because I understand how to operate this submarine to the best advantage, to prevent the Euclideans successfully attacking us.
But isn't there something we could be doing, Joan?
Yes. If you will do as I tell you, Captain Bradford, and you also, Mother, you can assist greatly.
Oh, of course, Joan, dear. We'll be only too glad to do as you direct, won't we, Tex?
Absolutely. We're in your hands, Joan, and your orders will be the law here.
Me too.
You will remain with me, Jerry.
Oh, then I'm going to help you with something up here, huh?
No, I want you near me so that I may keep you out of trouble.
I guess that takes care of you, Jerry.
Sure looks like it.
Never mind, Jerry. If Joan is taking care of you, you're in good hands.
What do we do, Joan?
You will go to the soundproof section in the extreme stern.
Back where the sleeping quarters are, dear?
Further back. Just behind the sleeping quarters, you will find another of the transparent steel doors. Open it. Enter the small chamber there and remove everything that is not permanently fastened to the floor and walls of the compartment.
What do we do with these things?
Bring them forward into the sleeping compartment at once and fasten them down to the best of your ability.
Is that all, Joan?
Yes, that is all. I will find something with which to occupy Jerry while you are gone.
Are you sure you understand exactly what's expected of us, sir?
All we have to do is to clean everything movable out of the stern section.
Well, do you know why we're doing
this? No, and it didn't seem like the time to ask questions.
Well?
Yes?
Huh?
What?
What do I do?
Listen.
Listen?
Yes, listen attentively.
Okay. I don't hear anything.
I did not mean for you to listen to sounds in general.
I'm not. I'm listening to the absence of sound in general.
My meaning was quite clear, Jerry. You are to listen to what I have to say.
Well, guess I can't help myself. Go ahead.
We are going to undertake a very dangerous experiment.
That won't be anything new for this trip.
This will be the first time we have deliberately created a dangerous situation for ourselves.
Oh, yeah? I suppose when we stole the submarine, we created a picnic for ourselves.
Jerry, if you persist in misunderstanding me, it will be useless to attempt to explain my plan to you.
Well, sorry, Joan. Go to it.
I am confident that our only immediate danger lies in the possibility of Octavo discovering the musical note which will set up vibrations within the structure of this boat. Vibrations sufficiently strong to shatter it.
Yeah, I guess he can do that all right. But I don't see how we're going to know when he's found it until it's too late.
We will have to move quite rapidly. You must know that to respond to a note in the musical scale, either the common scale or the wider ranges of sound, the entire construction of an object must be focused at one central point.
Oh, I know that. Like the keystone in the arch of a bridge.
Exactly. And this submarine will also be found to have a keystone, not placed as one, nor appearing as one. But somewhere in everything built by the hand of man, there is one important point. One vital point which will respond to a certain musical note.
Now, I understand that. And I understand when old Octavo finds a note that fits this sub, G-47 will broadcast that note in our beam, and this boat will fall to pieces.
That is the possibility.
Uh-huh. Swell idea. And when the sub cracks up, we're left to swim under a mile and a half of ocean water.
You cannot swim under a mile and a half of water.
I know it. That's what's worrying me.
If my plan is successful, we will remain within the boat.
Well, that won't be much fun after the boat smashes around us.
The boat will not, as you say, smash around us.
Well, if you can figure how to keep us dry after our boat leaves us on the bottom of the ocean, hurry up and tell me.
I asked Mother and Captain Bradford to remove everything from that stern ballast section for a definite reason.
Oh, I thought maybe you just wanted to give them something to do.
It will also serve that purpose. However, I want that section cleared so that we may drop it off without losing any of our supplies.
Drop it off?
Precisely.
Drop off the tail of the submarine?
It is so constructed as to permit that.
But can we still run it and steer it just as well?
We may continue to operate the boat, and our speed will be appreciably increased, though the loss of the stern stabilizing fins will render accurate navigation difficult.
Oh, that's nice. We'll go faster, but we can't steer the blame thing, huh? Won't we have a lot of fun zigzagging around, cutting the tops off submerged islands?
I will guarantee to keep the boat free of any such obstruction.
But what good will it do us to lose the tail of this thing? Old Octavo isn't shooting his musical note at the stern. He's aiming for the keynote of this boat, and that's probably near the center of it.
Precisely. And my plan is this. Octavo will find that note without doubt, and possibly find it very soon, as he must have been experimenting all through the hours since we left the island. When he finds it, it will be sent out on our course.
And we'll start to shake ourselves out of this floating target.
Yes. We will feel the vibrations before they cause any appreciable damage. And the instant we are conscious of the action of the musical beam, I will pull this lever. That will drop the stern section off, and we will be safe.
Well, maybe you can see it.
You should see it also. It is very simple.
Okay, I'm simple then, but I still don't see it.
By dropping that section, we change the entire construction of this boat. We change the Newtonian base.
The what?
The Newtonian base. Have you never heard of that?
Oh, afraid not.
Jerry, is it possible that in your world a young man may reach the age of 16 without learning of Sir Isaac Newton?
Oh, sure, I know all about Newton. He used to sleep under apple trees. One day an apple fell on his head and he figured out the law of gravity.
The story of the apple is probably fallacious. However, it is Newton's law to which I refer. The Newtonian base is the center of gravity.
Oh, all right. We'll argue about that some other time. I know what you mean, anyhow. When you drop off the tail section, you change the center of gravity of this boat. And that changes the musical note, which will wreck the boat.
That is a crude explanation, but if you understand it, that will suffice.
Well, go on. When you change the center of gravity, you mix old Octavo all up. And then he's got to spend some more hours making noises with glasses of water until he finds a new musical note, which they can broadcast to wreck us.
That is it. Our safety depends on my ability to recognize the vibrations of the destructive beam the instant they strike us, and to distort them by losing the stern section.
Well, do we have to open the receiving side of this radio set to hear the beam coming?
It would be very simple if we could do that. Unfortunately, the note which will strike the vital center of this boat will be of such high frequency that the ear will not detect it.
Well, if we can't hear this thing coming, what can we do about it?
I've explained that over and over, Jerry. We will feel the vibrations. The submarine will actually start to break up, and then I will drop the stern section.
That's going to make it a mighty close figuring. But if that's the best we can do, well, it's the best we can do.
Mother and the captain are coming.
Then they must have finished cleaning house back there.
I think we removed everything from that section.
Yeah, I know we did. We've got everything that wasn't part of the boat.
That is well. Now, if you will take your station and lock the safety devices on the steel chairs.
Well, what's going to happen, Joan?
Get yourself anchored in that seat, Pat. And Joan can tell us what she has in mind.
I've secured my life belt.
I'm tied in.
Me too.
Excellent. Now, as I have explained to Jerry, we may expect an attempt to destroy this submarine any moment, any second. And when this attempt is made, the first indication of it will be a series of sharp and violent vibrations. We must be prepared to remain in our places and make no false moves. I will quickly cut off that stern section, thus changing the center of attraction in this boat and saving us from destruction.
Oh, we hope.
But, Joan, if you are afraid the Euclideans are going to send a destructive radio beam and our safety can be assured by dropping that stern section, why wait until they start sending out this beam?
This will be a constant musical note, Mother. And I am basing my plan of escape on the belief that Octavo is working to find the note which will destroy this boat as it now stands. If we were to change our structure before he strikes, he would know it instantly and would set about making ready to attack us as a smaller unit.
Well, that's sensible enough, June. Once he has sent out his constant note tuned to this sub, and you have thrown him out of range by dropping that section, he will be forced to start his experiments all over again, giving us at least a few hours in which to run for home.
Precisely, Captain.
You're sure understand it easy enough, Tex.
Well, I have studied the destructive power of a musical note.
You and I seem to be the only ones completely in the dark on this, Jerry.
Sure looks like it, Mrs. Gregory. But if Joan and the captain know everything, we don't have to worry about knowing anything.
Silence!
Whiskers! Joan! You did it!
Good work, Joan. You saved the submarine.
Oh, Joan, that was wonderful. The boat was being shaken to pieces.
We were very near destruction for a few seconds. Now we are free. And as it should take Octavo several hours to find a new note for this smaller shell, we will utilize those hours by shooting to the surface and racing for Los Angeles.
Well, can you handle the boat now?
It will be difficult. Remain strapped in your seat. I will refuel with a double charge. We will travel vertically.
You mean you'll shoot this sub straight up through a mile and a half of water?
Precisely.
Boy, oh boy! Everybody hold on tight. We're going straight up.